Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Jones, your host. Tonight, I'm going to do my show a little differently. Usually, I have my notes, my guests, my research, my numbers, my stats, and I usually have other perceptions and views on the topic that's being discussed that particular show. But tonight, I remember about 7 months ago, I posted one of the shows in the group. I think the group name was Black Race. No. I forgot what group it was. And the guy wrote back to me and said, "Man, you never give your opinion. You always have others give their opinion." Well, and then he tried to tell me that my show should be different from traditional shows. Well, there's a thing called respect. If I'm going to invite you on my show, that's your time to express your views. And yes, my question might challenge your views. My question might be in support of your views, or I might expand on your views. But tonight, you got it. I'm giving my view. But before I tell you what we're going to discuss tonight, is that I want to give you the rundown of the shows that we have. On Saturdays, we have Provocative Thought by Carlton Steve, which come on at 8 p.m. Tuesday, we have my show. And then I have co-hosts. The second Tuesday, I have Ms. Ann Dillard, who does health relationships. She's a licensed professional therapist. On every third Tuesday, I have T. Nathan, who is a political consultant in the state of Mississippi. And matter of fact, in the state of Mississippi, they're having a very, very close going gubernatorial race. Every Thursday, every third Thursday we have Donald Scoggins, who himself is in the middle of a campaign. Matter of fact, he's supposed to be calling in tonight to tell us, you know, how he's doing with the campaign. But he said his opponent got like $300,000 to his $50,000 found the money. Yeah. But tonight, I'm going to discuss, no, I'm going to have a conversation about should we be voting? Should black folks vote? Should black folks participate in the voting process? By voting, now we was made to believe years and years and years ago that participating in the voting process and participating in the political process, that it could be beneficial to black folks in America. Has it? Do we have fair housing? Do we have wealth equality? It seems like the only people that benefit were other Americans that don't look like us. I mean, other segment of society has benefited from the voting political process. Name me one bill have benefited black folks. Oh, anybody that listens by laptop, you can dial 909-265-9215. It's 909-265-9215. In fact, I have been voting since I was 18 years old. The first person I ever voted for was Jimmy Carter. He was all right, guy. Matter of fact, I think he's doing more now for people than he did as the president of the United States. In fact, the only time politicians come to the black neighborhood is once every 4 years. Documented. That is documented. That is, as they say, read the transcript. Oh, this being election day, how many of you guys voted in your local elections? Now, I think that the local elections are more important to us as a community versus the national elections. That's just my perception of the whole political process. I think that when you vote for your council people, your county people, your mayors, your governors, I think that affects us more as a community than the national elections. But even then, let's look at our black neighborhoods across America. Really? Are we benefiting? The only time black community benefit, if there's no black community, if people just live with other cultures, what they call, again, as I said last week, diverse neighborhoods. Are they really, truly black, still black neighborhoods in America? If they are they receiving the appropriate representation from their political leaders? Are they? 909-265-9215. Anybody disagree with me, give me a call. If anybody have anything to say, give me a call. Or this would be another short show. Because my thing is, I say what I have to say, get to the point, voila, there it is. But as a United States citizen, I am very disappointed in the political process. I'm even disappointed in the Black Caucus. Do we still have a Black Caucus? I heard anything from the Black Caucus since the Clinton days. Whatever happened to these folks? Well, and I say there's one politician I think is really is trying to do for his city and his district, and that's Cory. That's Congressman. He's a senator now. Senator Cory Booker out of New Jersey. And I can remember he started as a councilman 25, 30 years ago. Then he became mayor. Then he ran for congressman, and now he's a senator. And now he's running for the president of the United States. And guess what? He still lives, he has a home in the Black neighborhood. I don't know where he lives at in D.C., but I can tell you now, for sure, I know exactly where he lives in Northern New Jersey. And he's still in a Black neighborhood. And he's, I don't think he went to Harvard. I think he went to Cornell. Well, I'm going to say Harvard. Y'all can Google him and find out what school he graduated from. I want to say Cornell, or is it Princeton? I know he's an Ivy Leaguer. He's an Ivy Leaguer. And I think that's the only individual I could say like that was true to the plan that he had. And he ran, he always ran education, rebuilding neighborhoods, and youth. And, breaking news, 49.7% for the Republicans and 48.3% for the Democrats for the Kentucky governor race. Does it matter who's in power for us anyway? Do you rather have somebody that sell you a dream, but that's not back it up? Or you rather have somebody that go be honest with you and say, I'm not gonna do anything for you. You're on your own. I'd rather go with that guy. At least I know what I'm up against. And to me, T. Nathan always says this. There's no difference between a Democrat and Republican if you're a Black man in America. There's no difference. You know what the Democrat is? You know who? Yeah. You know, the Democrats are really famous for the crime bill that President Clinton put out there. And still today, the correction system is the leading corporation in America. They almost outdrew Microsoft and Google. They got a seat on the stock exchange. Their contract is in the billions. They develop new towns around these prisons. And this is like that book, The New Jim Crow. And that is the work of the Democrats. Not the Republicans, but the Democrats. Now, Is the aren't the Democrats supposed to be our friends? They're always coming in our neighborhoods and let's tell, we're going to do this. They have some of our people be campaign managers. They appoint some of our people to key positions and everything. It ain't nothing but the, still the same status quo. The same status quo. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. There were some elections I did not want to vote. There was nobody to vote for, whether it be mayor, governor, or president. It's like, why? Why? Didn't they use code words, the middle class? Just say white folks. The middle class. Well, how about people that are not in the middle class? The wealthy get theirs. They don't get theirs off the top. And yes, the middle class was suffering for a while. But still, they're going to maintain. But how about people that are not in the middle class? The working class, where you got to work 80 hours a week to bring home a decent paycheck. What you going to do about that? You don't, you know, you still have states that have not increased the minimum wage. But guess what? We going to make America great again. Look at the rural areas. Now, this is Trump country. This is Trump country. The rural areas are suffering. It don't make it so bad they don't even know it. They still go out and support this president. And you know, if he don't give up anything, if he doesn't care, I think he just cares about the 1%, the rich getting richer, the wealthier getting more wealthy. But the most of Americans is in that other percentage. You're not the president of the wealthy. Just like Barack said, I'm not just the president of black folks. I am president of Americans. But when you are a white supremacist, you don't care. And now you got these politicians just saying anything, doing anything, passing laws that are really, so-called, and I put quotations, unconstitutional. Well, guess what? It ain't the first time. But like I was saying before, there were elections. I did not want to vote. And the only reason why I vote was because of historical reasons. The people gave up their lives for us to be able to vote. Do we still got to do that? Are we still obligated? Because most of the peoples are basically gone, passed on, their ancestors now. But are we really still obligated when we got to go out and vote because my mother and my grandmother marched, my father and my grandfather marched? People died for us to be able. How about this? People died for us to have a choice. I shouldn't feel guilty because I didn't vote. Because I now, when I look back, did my vote really count? I don't think so. I had reservations. Even the people on the Democratic side. In that 90 days, we're going to have our first caucus. And you know, once those caucus and primaries start going, boy, they're going to be going. They get go fast. The presidential year always go a little fast. You know, so in 90 days, we have the Iowa caucus. Whoopee-doo. That's what I said. Hooray, hooray. Like, should I be excited about the upcoming elections? You know, if you listen to past shows, you know I really don't care about the current administration. I really not too enthused about the people that represent the Democrats. I really not. So should we vote? Or should we have a choice to vote? Does our vote matter? Should we just focus in the local elections? Should we put emphasis on the local and state elections, something that really we can't see? We can put our hands on. How many, for example, how many politicians had came through your neighborhood and said, "We're going to fix the school system. Everybody go get equal education." Guess what? The stats, the reading stats, the reading and math statistics. I said I was going to use statistics, but, you know, I just want to use that as an example. The reading and math scores of eighth graders have not changed in 25 years. 25 years ago, it was like, during the Bush era, it was like 38%. Now it's like 32%. It's going the wrong way. But I know every 4 years, there's somebody running for office. We're going to fix the education system. It haven't been fixed, folks. We still got reading and math scores that are not ways compared to internationally that are not sustainable. And how about other cultures that's come over that do very well with their reading and math, especially the math? Their scores double out American-born children. Why is that? Is it because the educational system is too large to deal with, or we had a lot of education in the school since we had a lot of nepotism? Why is it? Can somebody tell me? Or it's just me? Or I'm being pessimistic instead of being optimistic? No, I'm being neither. I'm just telling you what is going on. Because let me tell you something, I've been part of a couple of campaigns. These people might start out with good intentions. Once they're elected, and then see what they really have to do. Nah, it's nepotism all over again. Well, should we vote? I don't know. I truly don't know. I know one thing. We should have a choice to vote or not and not feel guilty for not voting because we disagree. Of course, what we see on these platforms do not pertain to us as a people. And then this leads into another issue. Should we have our own agenda? If we have our own agenda, maybe, just maybe, politicians will start addressing the issues in our communities. Good evening. You're on the line. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Peace and power, brother. This is...
Hello.
What's going on? This is Brother Ikwane. How you doing?
Who is this?
Brother Ikwane.
Hey, how you doing? So, should we participate in the political process?
I just wanted to bring up the definition of politics, and I had it on my my mind just as you asked me this question. And it looks to be a noun, the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. So the big part that has always stood out to me in that is, you know, the conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. And what we do see is that, you know, when we look at the thing called white power, we see if you're a black Democrat or, you know, a black Republican, you know, if you get caught out in the street and, you know, one of these trigger-happy police, you know, catch you, you know, they're going to kill you. And a lot of times, regardless if you're a Republican or if you're a Democrat, regardless, either or, you know, they get off, you know, basically saying that you were wrong for whatever it is that you were doing. And I feel like our politics, our policies, have been a one that have not assisted us as black, as colored, as indigenous, whatever we want to call ourselves here in 2019. I want to ask myself, what is the pinnacle of our participation here in, you know, and I wrote this question out the other day in the pinnacle, you know, as people were sharing what they felt, it was with Barack Obama. You know, and I know in the face of Barack Obama asking, what did we actually achieve as a people? Not talking about as transgender people, as homosexual people. I'm talking about as people that reflected what he was supposed to be embodying, and that was a black president. You know, what were the things that actually we were able to achieve? And, you know, the reality is that me and many other people couldn't really think of many things at all. So the reality
I have an answer. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. In fact, the average black man was worse off before he became president. He was worse off after he became president than before he became president.
Right.
Nothing. We did not gain any grounds except for history. Oh, we could spend our money anywhere. We could move anywhere to benefit other cultures, as far as Black communities. Nothing. Our education system is worse. Crime is still the same. Police brutality increase. More
That's
Black
right.
boys are not graduating from high school. If they are, they're not reading and writing on a passing score. So nothing. The jobs, you got one, two, or three jobs in order to survive. So I could tell you what the Black man benefit from having a Black man as a president. Nothing. Zero. Nada. Now, if anybody will show me differently, please do.
Right. And I definitely agree. And like I said, what our people will sit here and do, Black folks still will go back and forth. Go ahead. What our people will sit back and do is go back and forth and Republican this and Democrat this, or why Hillary is better than Donald Trump. And really, like you said, neither party is better for us. When we look at what our agenda looks like, we need to be looking at what the Black Panther Party was attempting to do. What, you know, the likes of Elijah Muhammad, the Marcus Mosiah Garvey movement. You know, we have to look at various other movements such as those, not saying that everybody was 100% correct, but we must have to do a
We was on the right track. We was on the right track.
I don't know why,
in the late 60s, early 70s, we was on the right track. And I don't know why we moved away from it. And I think I know why. People start getting good jobs. People start getting recognized. We start getting the first Black mayors, the first Black governors. Black folks start getting appointed in different positions.
I'm gonna tell you what it was. Negroes started having sex with white folks. We started being accepted into, you know, with the whole civil rights thing. It was where Martin Luther King was pushing to get us advanced, and the Europeans said, "Okay, yeah, we're gonna advance you, but when we get you over here, we're gonna do with you as we will. So we're gonna fondle you. If we want to rape you, we're gonna rape." So what it was is that if the white woman wanted the Black man, she could have, and you had more of those relationships. And like you said, you had more mayors, you had more politicians, more Black people, more quote unquote white people and Black in Black skin. So this is, you know, making it able, you know, even when they talk about Messy Jesse Jackson, people that are quote-unquote supposedly looking like us, supposedly look, you know, for the cause, for the quote-unquote agents. This is what we had, you know, during that time. We had the infiltration of a lot of people that were working for the government that were, you know, because you got to remember that J. Edgar Hoover had the COINTELPRO program where they actually dumped, you know, millions of dollars into making sure that there was not going to be any rise of any Black Messiah. When we look at Black Wall Street, this is exactly what the government does not want, because as it depends on Black folk now to be the workhorses of the economy, it has always done that, right? So they don't want to have us in a situation, you know, where we're now not going to be worthy of just being a dumb, deaf, and stupid employee. Now when we're being business owners, no, they don't want that. They want us to go to jail more so than they're wanting us to be owners of businesses. And this is just a reality. So it is time for us to wake up and realize that neither one of these systems were actually designed to create liberation or to take us, you know, where we So it is time for us to come up with something that is going to be sufficient and effective for us.
And you know, about a month ago, one of my co-hosts, T. Nathan, said, we need a black convention. We need a black agenda. But we, I know we had different thinkings. I know we have black Republicans, Christians, Muslims, you know. But we need to leave that at the door and focus on us, no matter who you are, whether you're Hebrew, Muslim, Christian, Republican, Democrat, Independent, a conservative, liberal, radical. We need all these different thinkers sitting at the table focusing on us without name calling if things aren't going your way.
And I want to say this just to add on what you were saying, because I heard Dr. John Henry Clark bring this up in his side, his scholarship and his, you know, years and years of studies. But he had talked about how religion was created by these same people that we are talking about that are in power now. Religion was created for political purposes, you know. And as we see today, religion and politics still are in bed with each other. I can remember going to church and remember, I can remember going into, you know, the church and seeing the politicians coming around, you know, election time, you know, looking to get that vote. Right. And they still do. So the reality is that we look at inside of the majority of people that look like us have, quote unquote, basically been warned by these religions that don't reflect anything for them politically. They don't reflect any type of power. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I don't care what we are, Hebrew, Muslim, Christian. None of these have helped us collectively move forward as a people here in 2019.
Well, I don't know. I think the nation tried. I want to salute
to the nation. I want to salute to the nation and also all those churches and people that have done the good work. But to say that we got what we put in, and that's to the nation and also to those churches, you know, I can say we didn't. We wind up giving a whole hell of a lot more than what we have gotten here in 2019. I'm just being honest because I've been a part of the NAACP. I've been a part of a lot of those organizations and groups to help improve. But at the root, what you still find is that face of that brother that looks like him, but has a different white, he has a white agenda in mind at the core of the politics. Mm-hmm. You still see politics at the core of all, the majority of all of those organizations. You know, you see them being won by a dollar. You know, you see them still being the ones that are going to, you know, ride in the nice cars, and you know that's just the reality. And in not throwing no shade, but even in the minister, you know, a lot of times they go, and I'm not knocking, but what we start to see is the trade off, and where it's like, well, hey, my integrity, and I think Monique and Steve Harvey were going back and forth on this. But it's like my integrity isn't worth a dime, isn't worth this check that I'm going to get. So I'm going to get this check to hell with my integrity, you know, and you kind of see a lot of these dynamics changing in these quote-unquote organizations.
Stay on the line, brother. I have another caller. Stay on the line.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Black Up America.
Is that me, Kenny?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Oh. I was just listening in, man. You know, I'm not really good with the political stuff.
Oh, you know. Let's just answer this question. The topic tonight was, You know me. If it wasn't for this brother, I say what I had to say. I was going to jet. But he started coming with his stuff, man. It made it more interesting. Shit, like, at one part of the conversation, there were times I didn't feel like I didn't want to vote, right? And I voted because of history. Historically, I didn't want to feel guilty because people died and whatnot. And like this one brother said a couple months ago on my show, one of my co-hosts, you know, there's no difference between Republican and Democrat and stuff like that. So my whole thing, should we be involved in the voting process since today is election? I didn't even know today was election day. So I turned on CNN. Should we be involved in the political voting process? Does black folks benefit from this process?
Well, did they benefit from any political process, yes or no?
I'm asking you.
Have black people benefited from any political process?
No.
I would say no.
Historically, no.
Not at all.
So there's no change as a result of, you know, the political process for black folks in this country.
Right.
I mean, we had black mayors. We had a couple black governors. We had a black president. But far as the black community benefiting from the political process compared to other cultures.
Well, that's a different statement compared to other cultures. That's a different statement. So basically, there have been some changes made through the political process that directly impacted on black people politically anyway. You know, not that people, I mean, you can only make laws, you can't make people follow laws, right?
Right.
You can't make them do what you say do, so. And so, I mean, why do we think that voting is going to change? Don't you have to become a part of the process to make change? The voters don't really make changes. They just vote for people to make changes. I mean, you're not going to do anything at the voting level anyway.
We vote for people for representation. If you're my senator, you're supposed to have my interests at hand. But I only see you once every 4 years.
He don't even know you. You know his name. He don't know you from a can of paint.
He
knows
the block down river. He knows the name of my community.
And
his campaign or office is right down the block from him, so he know the area. He represents the people.
What's his name?
Of that community.
What's his name?
Well, let's say Gentleman X or Madame X. I don't know. It could be anyone.
Right, but God don't know you, man. He don't care about you. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
Right.
If nothing has changed through us all voting, then the people that we vote for, whoever they are either they don't care or they're very ineffective, or they get there, they care, they get there, they're scared to be a stand-up guy. And it could be all of that, depending on who you're looking at.
I think at the end of the day, what it is they are magicians. You know, they're politicians, and a lot of times, it's kind of symbolic to what they call the wolf in sheep's clothing. And I think when people speak of politicians, especially defined in this country, it has always been in the face and looked like white power. I know people talked about what it looked like before, you know, in the Continental Congress. But the reality is that we hear about the stories is that where we were brought here as black folk, that we were slaves. You understand that we were treated, we know that there is an overwhelming amount of that documentation where we were once three-fifths of a person here, you know, in the book. So right. This is just the reality when we're talking about what does politics look like here in this country. And the reality is what you guys both asserted is that with all of our participation, with all of our love, with all of our voting, all of our, even with our black folks, you know, men and women that are on the police force, tell me why is it that the record number of us are getting killed? So what good is it having a whole bunch of black folk on the police force if they aren't able to make any change? And what we're seeing is this good old boy system is still in place. This good old boy system is basically a one that looks is the mob, is the mafia.
Right.
If you start talking against it, if you start, you know, there are people, and even when you're talking about politics, these people are selected, not elected. And it's a lot of times we have to be real with that process as well. You know, even though we might want these people, or we might feel like, you know, if they got power and certain things that are in place, this is the mafia for real that we are actually seeing. And, you know, we are the ones that are, you know, basically the victims.
Well, I tell you what, I'd rather get stopped by a black cop than a white cop. I have more chance.
You'd rather get
to
shot
live.
By a black cop, you're saying?
I'd rather get stopped by a black cop than a white cop because I have more of a chance to live.
Oh, okay.
I had two personal experiences with black cops. If they were white cops, I would be in jail or dead. But they let me go home.
And that's good. Or you might have a situation where I had, you know, this black cop to pull me over, and he thought I'm pretty sure he had a white wife, and you know, he thought he was just as white as, you know, Snow White. So, you know, I think that's, you know, we see that as well. I understand fully what you're saying, but I would prefer getting shot by a white boy before I prefer getting shot by my own people, because you kind of already knew that it was coming from the cracker. But, you know, getting shot by your brother.
If I had a choice, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't want to go down. I wouldn't want to get shot by no cracker, but to say he or the damn Uncle Tom, you know, I don't know. I might want to damn shoot myself in the foot, man. I don't damn. Damn.
I have breaking news. So far in Mississippi governor race, the Democrats are leading by a tip of a point. You know, by 1 point. So that's Trump country. And Kentucky, the Democrats have caught up. It's 49-48 in Kentucky. That's in Trump country. Go ahead, man.
This whole thing about voting, I mean, he left? This whole thing about voting, you know, I don't know, you know, like you're saying, like you voted traditionally, used to, because of the history. I understand that. If it's not going to hurt you, vote. You know what I'm saying? You take about 5 minutes
not
to do
to
it.
Vote, but if I feel,
you don't want to vote, don't vote.
Right. Don't make me feel guilty because I didn't vote. And I thought that as being a citizen of the United States, I mean, you know, I thought I had a choice to vote or not. You're not going to say, oh, you know, your ancestor died, you know, this on the bridge, and, you know, your mother and grandmother, your father and grandfather marched and got beaten and everything. I don't understand that. But they thought that it's going to be different. But it's not different. In fact, it's worse. And I said this before the brother came on. I said, we need a black agenda. We need a black convention. We need to include black Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, Muslims, Christians, Hebrews. We need the whole academia, grassroots. We need all these people in this convention to come up with an agenda. And if your issue don't get on the agenda, don't walk away hurt or nah, because as soon as we don't get a voice, we're going to leave instead of being supportive. We really need a black agenda before it's too late, because in another 4 years, our neighborhoods is not going to look the same. We're going to be all diverse and gentrified and everything and displaced. All right, Carlton, have a great call of the night, man.
Oh, okay.
All right,
but you know what? Just before you hang up, you know, I mean, if you look at us now, we are already displaced, man, with being in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, but it's going to be worse.
Disconnected.
No more black neighborhoods. It's going to be like no more black neighborhoods.
I think there's always going to be black neighborhoods and ethnic neighborhoods.
It's going to be,
especially as long as you have poor people.
There's a big push for diverse neighborhoods. There's no more.
So they're pushing for diverse income neighborhoods, you're saying? Diverse income neighborhoods?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's supposed to cut down on crime and all that stuff?
I don't know if it's going to cut down crime, but, you know, I think the only ones that might have their own neighborhoods are the Chinese and the Indians. No more Italian neighborhoods, no more black section, no more Puerto Rican section, no more. Everybody's going to be mixed in together, man. And like I said, it's going to be income-based. If you got a certain income, you're living in this area. You know, you still gonna get the same service as the other neighborhoods, but you're living in this area.
Especially when did that happen? When did the poor
play out these black neighborhoods? Because I think
the poor
through the crime or whatever.
When did the poor ever get the same services of the more affluent people? When did that ever happen?
Where they live at? Imagine.
No, when did poor people ever get the same services, right? Or similar services?
Oh, never.
As that of the people. Right. So that's.
Never.
You're not getting any services.
Anything
equivalent to anybody that has any, amount of wealth.
Never. And we're not. It's just that I like the different concept of neighborhoods and culture. And to me, it's identity. You have your temple for the Jews. Oh, they got their neighborhoods. Ain't nobody going up in there. Ain't nobody going to tell them you can't have your own neighborhood. But
they own a lot of property in the neighborhood.
Yeah, they are the ones that are on the prop. They're the ones that are buying up everything. The Jews and the Indians are buying up everything across this country. And the Chinese. You can't forget the Chinese. I read an article that was almost like, whoa. You know, Chinese almost own half of this country as far as land-wise. And they've been owning it for a while.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe the United States paid off debt. I don't know. They just sell the property to them. I don't know.
Well,
maybe there's a change. I don't know. They didn't get deep into it. All right, 3 minutes left. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah. All right, bro.
I'll be talking to you. Hey, don't forget. Oh, I'll talk to you. That's something we don't discuss on the air. All right, brother.
All right. Peace out.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, folks. Thank you for the callers. And you people with the laptops, man, stop calling them. I know y'all be listening, man, on the laptops. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Everybody, have a nice evening. And again, don't forget to vote.
Hold it now.